Okay, here we go. Some shiners have sent in like this. Oh, hello, Martin. Okay, first shiner sent in was, you're on the beach and you want to dive in, either with a minion, without a minion. How clothed must you be? How much, here's the way this goes. Ideally, you would want to dive in a shul, fully clothed with a minion. And that's something you would always want to shoot for. Fully clothed with a minion in a shul. Hello, Margie. So that's what you want to shoot for. Now, if you're on the beach and you're not going to make it to the shul and you want to dive in now, it's still a great idea to get fully clothed. However, if for some reason you or your friends are deciding that you're not going to get fully clothed, the minimum that you must have is a yarmulke and a bathing suit. Okay? Those two articles are non-negotiable. A yarmulke and a bathing suit. Everything else, you should try to put on socks and a shirt and pants. However, if for some reason you can't do that, so then a yarmulke and bathing suit, you are yotze daven on that. If you are a woman, you do not need to wear a yarmulke, but yes, a bathing suit. That is the minimum. That way you will be covering all of your private parts and there will be, it's okay. Now, it's not ideal, but it's okay if you do like that. Okay, so that is shiloh number one. Hello, Abba. Shiloh number two. Abba, shiloh number one was get fully clothed for davening, but minimum is a yarmulke and a bathing suit. Minimum, but definitely do more than that. Shiloh number two is, let's say you're davening and you have to go to the bathroom, or you're davening and for some reason there's a child next to you who is demanding your attention, who needs to go to the bathroom or something else. So the best is to try and push it off as long as possible. Meaning if you're still able to somewhat concentrate, whether as far as your body goes or as far as your child goes, you try to push them off as long as you can, if you can. If for whatever reason you cannot push your body off anymore, or your child will not be pushed off anymore, so then what you do is you go to the bathroom or take him to the bathroom. Try not to talk. If you get back in short amount of time that it takes you to daven Shmon Esrei normally, let's just say your normal Shmon Esrei is 5 minutes. If you get back in less than 5 minutes without talking, you can continue from where you left off. So you said Shema Kolenu, you can continue Hashem. You can continue with Shema Kolenu. If you want to start from the beginning Shema Kolenu, you can. You don't have to. That's if it was less than 5 minutes, meaning your normal Shmon Esrei time, and you did not talk. However, if you talked or it was longer than your Shmon Esrei time, so then there's a lot of details to this. In short, if you went for yourself because you were unfit to daven and it took more than 5 minutes, you start from the beginning Shmon Esrei. If you went for someone else, not that you were not fit, but someone else needed you, then you go back to the beginning of the bracha you were up to. So if you said Shema Kolenu and you spoke or you helped someone else, then you go back to Shema Kolenu. That's it. Okay? There's some more details of this, but as a rule, less than 5 minutes, less than your Shema Kolenu time, continue from where you're up to. If you spoke, beginning of the bracha, longer than 5 minutes for yourself, go back to the beginning. For someone else, go back to where you were up to or begin the bracha. Okay, that is Shai number two. Shai number three is, what is the minimum amount to drink for Havdalah or for Kiddush? Okay, so you have a cup. Ideally, you want your cup to be holding a revias. It should hold a revias, which is around 3.3 ounces. That you for sure should have. Now, what happens if you don't want to drink that much, you can't drink that much, you're on a diet, too much sugar, too much carbs? So then the minimum amount that you could drink is rave of the revias, which is a mali lugma, a cheekful. So that would be around 1.7 ounces. So that is what you should do. Again, ideally 3.3 ounces you should drink. If you can't, it's fine. 1.7 for Kiddush or for Havdalah is okay. If even that you don't want to do, because that is too much, take a sip, taste it, and let someone else present that's been yotze with you drink the remaining 1.7. So again, so if you do not want to have the full 3.3 ounces to drink, okay, do 1.7. If you can't do that, taste it, and then let someone else drink the 1.7. Okay, those are three shaitas sent in. One other shaita someone asked me, do you need to have kosher gum? Gum that has a heksher? The answer is absolutely yes, because even though it's gum, you still make a bracha on it. You're still getting a flavor. You're still getting a taste. Taste of non-kosher is also non-kosher. And in gums, they definitely could put in some non-kosher things in there, which is why you'll see some gums have a heksher, some gums don't, because some gums are kosher, some are not.
Yes. Do you have to make a bracha?
Yeah. If you are, you by on gums, if you are getting the flavor, which I'm assuming is why you put the gum in your mouth, if it's a gum that has flavor, you have to make a bracha. If it's a gum that for some reason is just to chew and there's no flavor, then no bracha at all. As far as that gum, does that be kosher? I'm not sure. I mean, if it's a gum that you're going to get zero flavor from and you're not even making a bracha on, so that's probably like grass. And like, you don't make a bracha on grass when you chew it. I guess you can ask the cows if they do. But if you chew on grass and there's no flavor, don't make a bracha. If you're going to chew on gum, there's no flavor, also no bracha. Maybe it doesn't have to be kosher. I don't know, but I don't know if there's such a thing. If there is such a thing, let's discuss that. Okay, so those are the 3.5 shilas. Gums need a hacher. Drink 3.3 ounces, at least 1.7, or taste it and pass it on to someone else. Be fully clothed for davening, but the minimum amount is a yarmulke and a bathing suit to cover your private parts. And as far as davening, I'll recap that because it was a little tricky, Josh. If you are in the middle of anywhere besides Shlon Esrei, take care of your bathroom, take care of someone else's bathroom, no problem. If you're in the middle of Shlon Esrei and you need to go to the bathroom and you did it in less than the time it takes you to daven, go back and continue from where you're up to. If it took you longer than the time it takes Shlon Esrei, go back to the beginning of Shlon Esrei. If it was for someone else, meaning you were fit for davening, but someone else needed your help, so then if it took, no matter what, you don't have to go back to the beginning of Shlon Esrei, you go back to the beginning of the bracha, unless if you didn't speak at all, you can even go back to where exactly left off. Okay, if it needs more details, take a look in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Dalet, or we will discuss it another time. All right, now I want to get to our regularly scheduled program.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, when you talk about pushing, going to the bathroom, Shmon Esrei, once you finish Shmon Esrei, you should go, right? Or you should wait till then?
When you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei, before you dive in, you should check to make sure you don't need to go to the bathroom. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, you feel the urge, you try to push it off if you can. But get to the point where you'll make in your pants. To get to the point where you can concentrate on nothing else except for the fact that you need to go to the bathroom, so then go to the bathroom, even the middle of Shmon Esrei. Once you finish Shmon Esrei, so then any urge that you have, go to the bathroom. Don't hold it in at all. All right? Good. All right. So now, Okay, good. Here we go. Now we will start with back to Shechita part 2. All right. Dr. Langer, are you here? I see you're connecting to audio. All right. So Shechita part 2, a quick recap. What we did last week was when you have olives and grapes, if you squeeze them, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. The Malacha is what's called Dash, which is separating parts of the food from each other. That's Dash. The Tolda is Shechita or Mefarek, which we discussed last week. So that is Aser Mid'Oraisa. And therefore, squeezing grapes or olives for the juice is an Isser D'Oraisa. Mid'Rabbanan is Aser to squeeze all fruits that are squeezable, juiceable, which are most of them. Oranges, apples, lemons, those things will be usher midrabanan to squeeze. If you want to squeeze it in your mouth, so then there's more leniencies by those other fruits, liquids that flew out, that drained out of it, different leniencies. Those are things we discussed last week in part one. What we ended off part one with, what I just want to recap, because there was one thing which was not so clear. I do not think it's relevant for anyone here. Maybe it's relevant for someone here tonight. I'm not going to say who. Anyway, but someone else called me up for clarification like this. As far as a woman nursing, for a woman to nurse straight on Shabbos is fine. For a woman to pump, to relieve the milk, or to save the milk for after Shabbos is not fine. The only thing they can do is nurse to pump it into a bottle that has soap, which will be wasting the milk. That's the only thing that is permitted. In the middle is a baby who will not nurse, and he needs to eat, So what you're allowed to do, I said last week, was you're allowed to pump a little bit at a time and feed immediately, which is what one opinion holds. But after more research, it seems to be the minhag is not like that opinion. And the minhag is that you can rely on that you can do a full pumping and then a full feeding. Now you cannot pump to save for after Shabbos, but for the next feeding, whenever the baby needs for the next feeding, then you are allowed to pump the full amount and feed the baby. If there's leftover, then it's mutter to save, but you cannot pump to save. But ideally it would be to pump before Shabbos, get all the pumping done before Shabbos, if that could be. If that can't be, so then you can pump to do one feeding at a time on Shabbos. Okay, that is a recap of last week. Dr. Langer, I still don't see you. Okay, now, new stuff this week, Schita part two. We'll start off with something which is not so relevant right now, but you're not allowed to squeeze things for juices. You're not allowed to squeeze snow for the liquid. You cannot step on snow on purpose for the snow to come out. Hello, Dr. Langer, now I see you. Okay, so we're starting Schita part two right now. So you're not allowed to, in Toronto, it's relevant in the sun, in the winter, not right now. You cannot step on snow with the intention to squeeze it. You cannot take it in your hands and squeeze out the snow. That is Derabanan, but in the family of Schita. Ice cubes. You cannot squeeze or crush an ice cube. That's the family. Again, not this is the Raisa, but in the family of Schita. If you need to go to shul and walk on snow, that's fine. Not your intention. It's happening in a non-normal way. So then you can walk on snow to get to shul. But it shouldn't be with the intention of crushing or squeezing. If you need to salt the snow, that's okay, in order that someone should not slip, so then you would be allowed to salt the snow that it should melt. Fine, that is some shy with the snow and ice. Now, moving on to non-edible objects. You have clothing or towels or anything that it could saturate. There could be an issur d'oraisa for you to wring out those things. And because there could be an issur d'oraisa to wring out those things, there's an issur d'rabbanan to get them or let them get fully saturated. So it's going to be two parts here. To actually wring them out may be a d'oraisa, and therefore to let them get saturated may be an issur d'rabbanan just to let them get saturated. So now here we go how this plays out. So certain materials are just not absorbable, like wood, tile, these things can't absorb. We're not talking about them. Now, plastic and leather, they absorb in a very weak fashion. There, you're not allowed to wring them out. But wool or linen or these fibers, they really could absorb. That may be an issur d'oraisa to wring them out. Either the issur is schita, like we've been discussing till now, or if it's water that you're wringing out, that may be an issur d'oraisa of mechabes, of laundering, cleaning. Because that's how you clean things. You saturate with water and then you wring it out. So that may be the issur d'oraisa of kibbutz. Now, where does this play out? If you have a spill of water and you want to clean up that spill, if you clean up that spill and you saturate the towel and you wring it out, you just didn't miss the derisa. Therefore, here's the way this goes. If it's a small amount of water, very small, that it will not saturate the towel, no problem. You can wipe it off with a towel. If, however, it is a significant amount of water that will saturate the towel, you cannot use a towel because we're afraid you will saturate it and then wring it out. And same thing if it is soda or wine. Where we're nervous, you may wring it out to get that soda or the wine, or there could be other issues, won't get into now. But in general, if you have a major spill that could saturate whatever garment you want to use, you cannot wipe it off with that garment, with that towel, or that object. What could you do, and what should you do is take a rag or disposable paper towels and napkins. By them, there's no shash that you're going to wring them out on purpose because you don't really care. You're going to throw them out. The rags, you're not going to reuse now on Shabbos. You're going to put away. And therefore, if you have a spill with a lot of liquid, take a rag or disposable. Now, put it on top of it. You're still not allowed to squeeze. All we're doing now is saying we're not afraid you're going to come to squeeze. So put it on top, let it soak it up. At this point, throw out the disposables. And when you throw them out, be careful. Don't squeeze them out. Just pick up whatever drips, drips. You're not squeezing. Pick up and throw out. The rag, pick up and put in the laundry room. That is what is allowed by a major spill. Some are machmir to make sure you have enough rags. They have enough rags to to cover the whole spill at the same time, that you don't need to reuse the same rag. So that would be a good idea. I mean, that's if you have a spill which requires two rag lengths of rags. So ideally would be to get two different rags at the same time, because you don't want to use one rag and then feel like, oh, I need to wring it out and use it again. So if you have a large spill, get rags and paper towels large enough to cover the whole spill, pick up without squeezing and throw out. Margie, I'll get you shot in a second. So that is what happens if you have the major spills. Now, let's say, like Margie just asked, let's say you have no spill, but you want to clean. You have sticky on the counter. You want to clean off the counter. You want to clean off the table. So now, if there is a fabric, if it's a stain on a tablecloth, do not do anything. That could be an issue of cleaning. If it is, let's say, on a plastic tablecloth, so there, Rav Moshe Feinstein was machmir not to rub hard. You'd be allowed to, what would you guys do? Take a baby wipe, which we'll get to soon, or spritz a little bit of water. Then with a dry towel that will not get saturated, you can rub softly. That's only a plastic tablecloth. No hard scrubbing, because that could be kibbutz. But soft would be okay. If it is marble or wood, then there's no problem of kibbutz there, of laundering. There, the only issue would be schita. So let's say you have something sticky on a marble, stone, wood countertop. So then in that case, you would be allowed to spritz with a little bit of water, not enough to saturate anything, and then wipe it down. But do not have a wet towel and wipe it down, because that could be karmaschita. And Dr. Langer just shouted out a great question, which is, let's say you are walking outside and it starts pouring, or before you started walking outside, it starts pouring. And not only will your suit get wet, but your socks will get saturated, and they may get saturated. And therefore, every time that you walk, you will now be squeezing out the water that's in your sock, or your suit gets wet. What are you supposed to do? So there was a big tzaddik who lived in my block, who he stood outside for 3 hours because on his way home from Mincha, he stepped into a puddle and his socks were saturated. And therefore he was nervous. He would not want to walk home. So he sent a message to his wife and kids, I'll be here for the next 3 hours. You have shalosh without me. Now,
Why didn't he just take his socks off and walk home with no shoes?
So Sam, I am very glad you asked that question. Most likely because he didn't want to, he would rather just stand there. Could be because he was nervous and taking them off, he would wring them out. Or he just didn't want to go home for Shabbat Shuddas, and he used this as an excuse. I don't know. But the idea is he was in a different realm. The Svarim talk about that person as being very holy, but not something that anyone here tonight needs to worry about. And what is recommended for us is to walk home, even though it will be squeezing your sock, because it's not the normal way to do it. That's not your intention. And that's not how you launder, and that's not how you squeeze. And therefore, even though it's happening, it's abnormal, and you do not need to worry about that. Now, when you get home, you should not wring out your suit. You should not wring out your coat. Don't wring out your socks. Take them all off and change. And when you hang them up, you should hang them up in a fashion that doesn't look like you're laundering. I mean, you don't hang them up on your regular laundry racks, because that's another problem, which we'll get to when we do another shiur. But the idea is you want to hang them up in a way that looks like your normal way of hanging up a coat or getting rid of socks. So definitely take them off and hang them up in a normal fashion, not in a drying, laundering-looking fashion. Now, another very, very crucial topic here is toothbrushes, bottle brushes, and toilet bowl cleaners, right? These things, what are they? They're bristles, which don't really absorb. Is there an issue of schita with them? Can you clean out your toilet? Can you clean out a baby bottle? Can you brush your teeth? Is there an issue of schita? So what's interesting here is the actual fibers, they're synthetic. To the best of my knowledge, they don't absorb anything. But there's a nisa d'rabbanan on some of them because the water gets stuck in between these bristles. And as a group, these bristles are holding the water hostage, captive. And when you squeeze, you are squeezing water out of this entity. Not an issa d'oraisa, but an issa d'rabbanan, because the water here is trapped and you're releasing it. You're getting it out. Same thing by snow. We said it's not really juicing snow, but it's like stuck in there. The water's in there. So similar idea by the bristles. So now it depends. If the bristles are far apart from each other, so then we don't view the water as if it's trapped, then it's fine. So most baby bottle brushes, the bristles are far enough apart, it's not considered trapped, and therefore it is fine to use them on Shabbos, no problem. And that's why you'll have in stores certain, like for dishwashing, certain bristles that say the kosher brush for Shabbos. What makes it kosher is not that it doesn't have fat of a pig in there. What makes it kosher for Shabbos is the bristles are far enough apart that they're not trapping the water. So bailout brush or dishwashing thing, that would be fine. However, toothbrush, a little bit trickier. Toothbrush, the bristles are very close to each other. So if you want to go ahead and detach some of the bristles to make them, you know, more sporadic, fine. If you want to brush your teeth with a baby bottle brush, fine. But a normal, right, try that, Benji. But a normal toothbrush could raise an issue. And what Yisrael just asked, what about using it dry? So here's what you should do with a toothbrush, okay? For those holy people that brush normally, we're going to leave that alone for now. But just as far as the schita issue, what's recommended is to put water in your mouth and use a dry brush, and with the water in your mouth, brush it. Because that way you're not squeezing the water out from the bristles because there's no water in the bristles. All the bristles are doing are wiping around the water or the tooth, the detergent, what, the mouth detergent? What's that called?
Toothpaste.
No, I don't want toothpaste. What's the liquid? Mouthwash. Yeah, mouthwash. Use mouthwash. Okay. Means you want to put mouthwash in. Now, toothpaste, Alex, I'm avoiding toothpaste. Toothpaste is a whole nother shear, whether that's allowed. If you hold it, it's okay. If your revenge says it's okay, it's okay. If you don't. I'm not going to toothpaste right now. But just as far as the actual toothbrush itself, to saturate the toothbrush and then use it could be a problem. Therefore, better to have the liquid in your mouth, just like we discussed by a spill. Better to have the spill make a little bit wet, make the countertop a little bit wet and then dry it. Make your mouth a little bit wet and then use the toothbrush to clean. And then when you're done, don't make it wet again. You don't want to make it wet because making it wet may lead to, again, doing schita. Similar, one second, Alex.
But can you?
One second, Alex. Similar would be to, let's say you want to clean the toilet. Okay, let's say you have something that is worthy of cleaning in your toilet. So now to take the toilet cleaner, the brush, and make it all wet could be a problem. Now, if it's wide apart, like a baby, like a tooth, like a baby bottle, fine. But let's say the bristles are really close to each other, to make it wet would be a problem. So what you could do there is flush the toilet. Now the walls will be wet, and then take the dry toilet roll cleaner and then clean it and leave it like that till after Shabbos. Don't rinse it out because by rinsing out, you'll be squeezing some of the absorbed liquid in the brush. Yes, Alex?
In the etza that you gave about putting water in your mouth, could you throw in a little bit of water and a little bit of toothpaste and then brush like that?
So if you want, the issue with toothpaste, which I'm not getting into right now, of course, which I'm going to do right now, is the issue with toothpaste is smearing. There may be an issue of smearing. Some hold it's not a problem. And if you're a holy Sephardi Jew, it may not be a problem. But if you are a holy Ashkenazi Jew, it may be a problem to smear the toothpaste. And therefore, what Alex's idea is, by diluting it, that would be a better idea. If you put it in your mouth and it's diluted, so therefore it's not a creamy substance that you're smearing, that should work. Okay, so as we do that, put a little water in, a little toothpaste in your mouth, make it a loose consistency, and then take a dry toothbrush and brush all around. That should be fine. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so now that is many of these issues. One other issue on this. What?
And Marge, you didn't answer Margie's question about spraying kitchens like detergent on the counter, then wiping it.
Okay, do that? I thought I did, but I didn't. Here's where this goes. Do not saturate a towel, even a paper towel, and then do that, because that will be squeezing. What you can do is spray, put a little bit of water on the countertop. That will not be enough to saturate anything, And then as long as it's a wooden or marble stone countertop, there's no issur of kibbutz laundering. And then you can go ahead and then rub it down. But make sure it doesn't get saturated enough that as you're rubbing, you're squeezing. Now, related to that is a major debate in halakha. There's no difference between spray or water, just a little bit amount. Now, a major debate in halakha is baby wipes. Are baby wipes allowed to be used? So this is a huge fight. They've been fighting about this for 30 years. Rav Meisha and Rav Scheinberg said one thing, and then they changed, and then everyone's getting involved. It's a major fight. Bottom line is there are three shittas. One shita holds they are all perfectly okay. Another shita is they are all perfectly usher. And then there's a middle shita which says the wet, moist ones are a problem and the drier ones are fine. Okay, you have three different opinions. My Rabbeim have allowed all of them. They've said that they're all fine. There are reasons behind it. And therefore, we wipe our baby in a normal fashion. And you can use it for spills as well. Baby wipes, because they are synthetic, because they are not so absorbable, whatever, there's a lot of reason behind it. There are those, and my Rebbeim are lenient completely with baby wipes, but be aware, there are many people out there that will hold that you're doing a major isser by using baby wipes. So do what you want. Definitely you have who to rely on. Definitely have who would say, don't do it. And you can choose your own adventure. The last thing is, as far as hair. Yes, Alex.
For oneself, not a baby.
Same story. As far as the schita goes, you have the same machlokas. Some will say it's fine. Some will say they're not fine. Some will say as long as they are dry, of the drier type, then they are okay. I and our family, based on my name, are lenient with all baby wipes.
Wow.
Okay, but don't if it's controversial, don't go start spreading news. But anyway, it's just between us and the other 1,000 people listening to this recording. Now, the last thing I'll discuss here is as far as hair, body hair. So if you want to, if you feel like you need to go to mikvah and Shabbos, if you are a lady or a man who feels like he has to go to mikvah and Shabbos, or for some reason your hair got all wet, or you're having a really bad hair day and you want to, shape your hair, it's a big problem to saturate your hair and then dry it out. Similar to the brushes, even though the hair itself may not be absorbing the hair, but it's stuck in there. And therefore, you're not allowed to squeeze your beard. You're not allowed to squeeze your hair. What you can do is like those dog shakes, right? Shake out, let whatever hair go out. And then if you want to do a little pat, is okay, but no squeezing, no squeezing out your hair. Yes, Sam?
If can you take a baby wipe? Let's say you get like a stain on your clothes. Can you take a baby wipe and rub it off?
Great question. Let me just finish the hair and get to that. Okay, so that's as far as the hair. So if your hair is saturated, do not squeeze it so tight. Do a little pat, perhaps, but that is it. Okay, and the last question, what Sam just mentioned, was, are you allowed to use a baby wipe to clean off a stain? The answer is no. Not because of schita, because of schita we're lenient, but there may be a problem of kibbutz, of laundry. So if you have a stain on your clothing, maybe we'll do a whole nother show on clothing stains, but in general, whatever is above the surface, you can get off, flick it off. But whatever is from the surface down, like absorbed, stained in the clothing, you cannot get it off, not through water, not through a baby wipe. What you use a baby wipe for is a hard surface or a baby bottom or a human bottom or an adult bottom. Then you can use that, but not for laundering, clothing, and things like that. Okay, we'll end off now with some thoughts on bitachon. So last week, it's very interesting. The whole time we've been doing Shabbat bitachon, we've been very busy with parnasa and health. These 2 weeks, the last week and this week, he completely went off on a different topic, completely. So last week we discussed was people who are all alone, no one to care for them. They're just alone in this world. How he explained how it may be hard, but it's an opportunity to take advantage of that period of life. Take advantage, because even though it's hard, Hashem gave it to you for good reason. And now use it. You have so much extra time in your life. Use it for wonderful, good things. And this week, he went completely opposite, which is someone who's so overloaded with wife or children or friends or relatives that need their help. And it's a time taker, and it's a pressure, it's a lot to do. So he's saying you should know, have you talked to Hashem that shouldn't take up all your day, but realize this is an opportunity you have, take advantage of it. And don't be the guy who steps back and doesn't take care of other people's needs. Step up, take care of their needs. And not because you want to be the famous guy who's so nice, take care of their needs, because that's your responsibility. If you're in a position where people depend on you, rely on you, look up to you, need you, so you have an obligation to take care of them, and not so that you should get reward in this world. That may happen anyway, but do it in a way because you know what to do it because you know it's the right thing, and you'll get time and don't have of it. That's why you should be doing it, not to get any accolades or appreciation, because a lot of times you're not going to get you will not get the appreciation anyway. There are many times you help someone else and you don't get appreciated. Doesn't matter. You don't do it for that. You step up, you do it because it's right. And whatever's going to happen with your time, you have to have bitachon Hashem that it'll be okay for you. That was a new thought that he had in that. As far as davening, so what I've been trying to do now is do the Tehillim from David HaMelech that we stay in davening. So last week we discussed Perek Lamed, Mizmor Shir. The next Tehillim, next Perek and Tehillim in davening is Mizmor L'Seida. Right? There are other things in the middle, but it's not from Tehillim. Mizmor L'Seida is Kapitel Kuf. That's the next thing we say in Suki Dezimra. It's very short. It's interesting. Mizmor L'Seida, we're thanking Hashem. What are we thanking Hashem for? So you look in Rashi and the Malbim, a lot of times you're being carbon toida. If you were sick, you got out of jail, you traveled. A lot of times you would say you're bringing carbon toida with 40 loaves of bread, which is why we don't say this perek on Pesach or Erev Pesach or Erev Yom Kippur, because we can't eat those 40 loaves of bread. You don't bring the carbon toida, so we don't sing Mizmor L'Seida. But the concept is that this is somewhat in place of a carbon toida. Hashem has given us many things, whether he's healed us, whether he's taken us out of jail, or helped us travel safely, he's healed us. And now we're going and thanking Hashem. And that's a concept behind Mizmor L'Seida. It doesn't have to be such big things like getting sick or jail, anything, every part of our day, we want to thank Hashem. This is an opportunity. I was told by Meir Bay, whenever something really good happens to you, say Mizmor L'Seida. Just say it. It doesn't have to wait. You don't have to wait for davening. Mizmor L'Seida. And if du'as Hashem is simple, the second pasuk, if you understand what Hashem does for us, our service for him will be done with simcha. We should be having simcha when we're serving Hashem, because the service itself brings us closer. Sometimes if you do something for someone else, the only time that there's a benefit is if he recognizes it and gives you a present, gives you something in return. Here, by serving Hashem, that itself is good for us. So the avod itself, we're for sure getting schar. The avod itself is something which we should be happy about. When you daven, when you learn, when you do mitzvah to someone, that avodah that they're doing for Hashem itself should bring you simcha. And then the rest of it discusses how Hashem really owns us and takes care of us. He treats us like his tzoyin, like his sheep. And that's something which we have to appreciate, that everything we have is like Hashem taking care of us. So that's in the short Kapitel Kuf, Hashem is, the David HaMelech is tapping into these ideas. All right, next we will do Ashrei. I think that's the next one in Sugi Zimra from Tehillim. And as far as the Parsha, yeah, this week's Parsha. Okay, this week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach. So I'll pick one idea that always like sits with me, is you have these Meraglim, they were holy people, all 12 of them. Now, two of them stayed holy and stayed tzaddikim forever, Yeshua and Kalev. The other 10 had a fall. They had a big fall. And they were the leaders, and they fell. What was it? What triggered them? What made them fall? A lot of debates. One thing that's discussed is because they wanted honor and they were nervous if they went into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their positions of honor. Maybe. But there's one idea which I remember hearing, it's something which I keep in mind a lot, which is perhaps they were too overly concerned with what other people thought about them, which ties into this, that they were very concerned of their optics, of what they looked like to other people, and what they would look like in Eretz Yisrael, and that maybe led to their downfall. We see that in a little pasuk here. It says that they felt like grasshoppers, that in our eyes, we were grasshoppers. Now that's fine. When you're walking around giants, I played basketball, and I had a lot of like 6'7" people dunking over me, I felt like a grasshopper in their eyes. And that's fine. That's a feeling you have, but the pasuk goes on. It says, v'chein hayinu be'inehem. And so were we in their eyes. That's a no-no. What did they say? We felt like grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. What are they doing? They're now starting to care about what the other person thought about them. Now, you have to be a kind person. You want everyone to like you. That's true. But your thoughts should be, am I doing the right thing? And not, will that person like if I'm doing like this? Again, not to step on people or step on their feelings. But your concern is, what am I doing? Is it right? Not, what will they think about me? What will they be talking about me? Will they be talking behind my back? That is not relevant to you. So they felt like grasshoppers, okay. The fact that in their eyes, they were like grasshoppers, that perhaps was a little bit over. And maybe that was a theme that they had. They were so concerned about what the other person thought. So we spoke about a few weeks ago, you want to conform a little bit. You want to be part of the group. But more importantly is you want to do what's right. And even if it may ruffle some feathers, even if some people may not like it, that is not something you should be concerned about. Make sure you do what's right and be a grasshopper in their eyes. That's okay. That's a wrap. Mitzvah next week, I want to take a break from Shabbos. We did four malachas so far. We did Bishul, Boirer, Schita, and Lush. There's another 35 to go, but I want to take a break and do Tefillas HaDerech next week. It's summertime. People are going to be traveling. There are a lot of tricks in Tefillas HaDerech. So Mitzvah next week, we'll do Tefillas HaDerech. That's a wrap. Have a very good job.